Liftoff will start in T-minus 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to a new episode of ESA Explores, the podcast that brings you all you want to know about Europe's spacemakers. Our guest today is Pablo Álvarez Fernández. From Spain, he's a member of ESA's astronaut class of 2022, so our newest generation of European space explorers. Pablo is an aerospace engineer, and he used to work on a Mars rover before he joined us here in April 2023 at the European Astronaut Center in Cologne in Germany, where he started with his basic astronaut training. So, without further ado, let's embark with him on this incredible journey towards space. I'm Laura Zumühlen, Denzel Lorge is on the sound desk, and this is ESA Explores. Hi Pablo, welcome to our podcast.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Oh, very good, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, we are too. How was your week so far? Very busy?
Yeah, very, well, usual, I will say. So we had a few lessons on Earth observation, a few lessons on Russian, and that's it so far.
Yeah, a lot of training. I guess this has changed so a lot in your life since you've arrived here in Germany and at the European Astronaut Center. How has it been?
It's been great so far. And actually, I remember the first day you come here and you notice that everyone's job around you is to actually make you fly. And I think for me, it was like a very important moment when I realized that, okay, this is becoming real. I'm now an ASCAN, maybe a future astronaut. And yeah, it's super exciting.
And very intense, I guess. So you have a lot of training sessions every day?
Yeah, every day is different. So depending on what's on the menu, so you may go from orbital mechanics lesson, astronomy, to medicine, to you can go to the MVF where we train for extravehicular activities or even survival training. So yeah, it's super exciting.
Did you already do the survival training or?
We've done the water survival training.
Oh, yeah.
That was done in North Germany. We were there for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
So that was very, very, very good. We learned how to use these rescue boats, how to handle the water.
Because it's in case you, after landing or when you drop into the sea.
Yeah, I think with the space travel is that not everything is nominal all the time, so you may land anywhere around the globe. So in case you land in the sea, you still be able to survive at least until a rescue team arrives. And that was the main purpose.
And everybody survived during the training.
We managed to survive.
Nice. Was there any other particular training session or lesson that stood out to you and why?
Well, I think all of them had something very interesting. I enjoyed a lot of astronomy, for example. Yeah. I've always been fascinated by space. And as an anecdote, we had a little exam at the end of the lesson. Yeah, we were put into a tent, like a camping tent, and we had to look in the planetarium through the window and guess where we were, like the latitude, the northern or southern hemisphere, and also the season of the year, depending on the alignment of the stars. And it was quite nice because I thought when they told us that we would be able to do that at the beginning of the training, I thought, there's no way I'll be able to figure out where I am just by looking at the stars.
But it worked?
I will say we were pretty successful at the end of the training. So it did work.
So really, basically, you didn't know where you were and you had to look at the stars and locate where you are.
Yeah. That's it.
How did it work? Like they blindfolded and you went somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you go into the tent and then you look out of the window, and of course in the planetarium they can switch the whole sky. They can select.
It's a
representation of the sky at a particular point of the year in any latitude. So that was, sometimes you were at the equator, so it was very hot because you couldn't see like the northern star or the southern cross. It was like, okay, where I am, or maybe sometimes you could see the northern star just on the top, so you knew that you were on the North Pole.
Yeah.
Sadly, at the North Pole.
So that's, wow.
That was quite nice.
Yeah, so that sounds really exciting. So yeah, you just have to hope that in the real outside world that you can see the stars with all the clouds and everything. But
from a space capsule, we'd still be able to watch them.
True, yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, because yeah, true. You learned this, of course, for spaceflight as well. So have you been interested in astronomy before, or was it the first time you got in touch with this topic?
I think I've always been fascinated by sky, but I actually never invested enough time to know a lot about astronomy. So I never had such a deep introduction as this one before.
And has there been any other moment that still brings a smile to your face, or maybe together with your colleagues when you were training?
There's been many funny moments and very interesting, and
yeah,
not only about training or related to the topics we are studying, but also about useful life. Okay, I won't give names, but
yeah,
myself and a certain Askan, we thought that a colleague of us here was actually only one person, but after 3 months here, we noticed that there were two persons that looked very, very similar. And we had been discussing, what was his name? And we had two names in mind all the time.
Yeah. And who is it?
And suddenly one day we saw both of them together. I was like, what's going on?
So there are some true doppelgangers.
Yeah. And we were reminded of so many awkward conversations in which we thought that one person was the other. So we were asking them about their holidays. But of course, one was surfing, but the other was not. And
you
were surfing. No, I was not. But okay.
What's happening?
It took us 3 months. So yeah, that's
But you figured out now.
Now everything is clear, hopefully.
It's amazing. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of different people. I guess you meet so many new people as well when you come here. So
Yeah. Since November last year, when I was selected, suddenly you meet so many people every day, and also in the different CISA sites and all the press, all the events, and all that. It's truly hard to keep up with that.
With all of that, yeah. I can imagine, and it often it's difficult. Yeah, more difficult for you, I guess, because for us, you were six new people to arrive, five Askans. And so, of course, we knew your faces like right away, and then you meet all of us
at
EAC. You travel a lot as well to different establishments or different sites in Europe?
We've been in the Netherlands, in Aztec. We've been in Esrin, in Italy. And I have also been in a site in Madrid, in ESAC. And that's it so far, but it's not bad. I'm a newcomer still. I've been here for 7 months only.
Yeah.
So it's quite a lot.
Okay, let's pause here for a bit. The aerospace sector is very well known for its love of acronyms. So let's decrypt. The European Space Agency operates 9 sites across Europe. And what Pablo just mentioned were ESTEC, the European Space Research and Technology Center, situated in the Netherlands, serving as ESA's largest technical hub, Esrin, located near Rome in Italy, which is ESA's Center for Earth Observation, and ESAC, situated near Madrid in Spain, which is the European Space Astronomy Center. Is it particularly exciting or interesting for you to go back to a site in Spain?
Yes. It's always nice to go back home. I was there for their open day, and it was amazing to receive so much warmth from the people, from your people, and everyone was just very excited now that, there's finally another astronaut in Spain, and it had been 30 years since they had selected Pedro Duque.
Just in case you're wondering, Pedro Duque is the first Spanish astronaut. He joined ESA's astronaut corps in 1992 and completed 2 space missions. First, aboard the Space Shuttle Discovery for STS-95 in 1998, and second, on the Cervantes mission to the International Space Station in 2003. And now back to Pablo.
So it's been a long time. And then, they had over 2,000 people, more or less, at their open day. I had to give a speech to them. And then I had a moment to actually take pictures with many space fans. And it was great.
I can imagine. You already mentioned Pedro Duque. So was he also an inspiration for you when you were younger and wanted to work in space?
Yes, definitely. He she flew for the first time when I was 10 years old, so in 1998. And it was like a wake-up call, like saying, oh, come on, you can be an astronaut even if you're born in Spain. You don't need to be from the USA to actually become an astronaut. But then, of course, you dream about that. Every child dreams about becoming an astronaut. But when you grow up, you notice that it's very unlikely that you'll become one. There are not so many, and it's still a very rare career path. And you stop dreaming somehow. So it was not until I saw that ESA was actually selecting new astronauts in 2022 that I thought, okay, let's try.
So there was not a particular moment where you say like, oh, I remember this moment and that's when I decided, oh, I want to be an astronaut as a child.
I mean, as a child, I have a funny memory. The first time that someone told me, like, oh, yeah, there's people who have been on the moon, astronauts, they travel to space. Mm-hmm. And I was super excited. Then I was slightly disappointed the first time. I said, oh, yeah, maybe that's a spacecraft and it's going to Mars. No, there are no spacecraft going to Mars.
Not yet.
It's too far away. I was like, oh, come on, why not? It'll be so cool.
Yeah.
But it was always something that catched my imagination and my attention.
And then I know that you started studying aerospace engineering and you have a background in aeronautical engineering as well. How did it came to that? So you were interested in this topic?
Yes, I always like. I guess I always like flying things, so yeah. I like everything related to space, and I also like planes.
Yeah.
I enjoyed, and actually half of my career I have spent it working with planes for Airbus, and the other half with spacecraft, also for ESA or Airbus. So I basically enjoyed all the mechanical aspect of them. So.
Yeah.
That's why I studied engineering.
And I also saw that you were working on the ExoMars rover. What were your responsibilities or your experience with that?
So I was the mechanical architect. That means that I was responsible of supervising all the assembly of it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically from designing and building the structure to then receiving all the different payloads from different companies or universities all around the world and installing them, making sure that everything works and nothing is broken during the assembly process, which, it may sound obvious, but sometimes things break.
It's
really delicate hardware. It's quite often not designed for the gravity we have on Earth, so you have to handle with utmost care. And then at the very end, I was also a test conductor during the thermal campaign, let's say the EVT campaign, and you basically test how the spacecraft is going to react to the environment in Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So you put it in a vacuum chamber, you simulate the sols in Mars, so the different day, night, temperature profiles, light profiles to see if the battery is going to survive, if everything reacts as you expected, if all the thermal system is good. And it was a great experience. I really enjoyed that. Very challenging too, but
can imagine.
Super good.
And there you have the spacecraft to Mars. So you had somehow the connection then from your childhood dream.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it was supposed to fly in 2020. We delivered the rover on time, but then we couldn't make it and COVID came and so on. And then in 2022, ESA and the member state decided to cancel the launch also because it was going to be launched in a Russian rocket there was no way forward and now it's supposed to be launched in 2028, so fingers crossed it happens. That will be super exciting.
And we will follow this up and see. Well, a lot of your time is dedicated to training, of course, at the moment. Do you still have time for yourself and any hobbies outside of work?
It's proving challenging, but yes, I I mean, my hobbies were doing sports, and I'm still doing lots of sports.
Because you do a lot of sports for training as well, right? The astronaut training comprises a lot of sports sessions, no?
Yes. We have a few hours in the gym every week.
Yeah.
So on top of that, I'm doing some more at home. we also have some days of work, so I managed to backpacking in Central America for a week at least, and I could do some trips back home, and I still managed to put some hiking in the training. So
where did you go in South America?
I was in Central America, in El Salvador, for a week.
Yeah.
And then I think my summer holidays, I spent them in Scotland.
Very different.
Very different. And then a couple of weeks in my hometown in Spain, and managed to, we have mountains, really high mountains nearby, so I could also spend a few days over there.
Do you have any other hiking trips planned ahead?
Well, I think during Christmas I'll be able to do something. I haven't planned anything, so depending on the weather, we'll see.
Yeah.
And then we have the survival training in late February.
Oh, wow, another one.
And that will be in the Pyrenees.
Okay.
So it will also be in the Spanish part of the Pyrenees. I'm super excited about that. It'll be 5 days in the mountains. I don't know what's the plan yet.
Surviving.
It's surviving again. I hope we do. Initially, we were thinking about going to Sweden, but the trainer said that we wouldn't have much light time, and the purpose of it is actually developing the skills you need for survival.
Okay.
And it's better if we have light for learning rather than doing it during.
But this time it's surviving on land, I guess. So you're somewhere in the forest or in the mountains, or
It will be somewhere really high where there's the snow and.
And then trying.
I think we'll struggle.
Wow.
Probably a bit more than with the water survival. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. And then again, we have to do another update to see how it went. So this working environment here is also very international. You speak several languages yourself. How is the whole group dynamic and working in this international field?
Yeah, it's great. I think I have developed all my career in similar environments with people from all around the world. So this is the environment where I enjoy the most, because, you know, everyone has, you know, different background, also something in common, but everyone can bring something to the table from their own culture. So it's just great to work at ISA, where the international environment, international cooperation is embedded in our DNA somehow, because everyone is from a different European country. And then I also had the chance of already meeting some of the astronauts from United States, from Japan, from Canada. And that's also great that we are able to travel and actually live and work in a space with people from other nationalities. That's great.
Is there anything you're looking forward to that's still coming up, for be it training or a future mission?
Well, for the training, definitely a winter survival we talk about is something I really am really looking forward to. I was really looking forward for the centrifuge, but we had it last week.
How did that go?
That was super exciting. So we simulated the launch and landing profile, the nominal ones, and then let's say some sort of emergency landing, a bit tougher. And it's very interesting. Like I would say the hardest part about the centrifuge is not the acceleration itself.
Yeah.
It's the braking.
Oh, really?
Because when you brake, you have a tumbling feeling. You feel like you're really going round, but tumbling several times. It's a purely mechanical effect from your vestibular system trying to adapt.
Compensate.
You really feel that everything is out of control. So.
Oh, God.
And then trying to move your arms at 60, for example, it's super hard. So
but
I think I tried to do it like four times, like four repetitions, and then for the fifth one, I was like, okay, I'll rest now.
Yeah.
Imagine if your arm weighs 10 kilograms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then you're actually moving 60 kilograms, not the usual 10. So it's like a huge force pulling them down.
How long does it take? Like, how long is one test or one spin?
I think it lasts around, I will say, 13, 14 minutes.
So you're always like 13, 14 minutes in one.
And in that test you do all the profiles. And they tell you it's super exciting at the beginning because, okay, are you ready? Are you feeling okay? Yeah. Okay, launch profile. 10, 9, 8, 7. And it's like, and then engines turn on and then you really feel the push. It's actually so, I guess, I haven't been in space yet, but I guess it's so similar to a real launch.
Yeah, you got a first taste. Yeah. Because it was for you the first time, or have you been on any kind of centrifuge before?
It was the first time for me, so a completely new experience.
And no sickness, no seasickness, motion sickness.
No, actually, none of us had any problem.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, you feel a little bit dizzy for maybe.
Yeah. I mean, you got spun around.
Like, yeah. I think 15 minutes to 20 minutes after the centrifuge is normal that you feel a little bit dizzy. And when you stand up, it's quite hard to walk back.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had to go upstairs to get out of the centrifuge. And
a bit like wobbly.
wasn't easy.
Afterwards, it was fine. Like, you could readapt quite quickly after getting out.
Yeah. I think I was having lunch after 10 minutes. So,
perfect. That's a good sign, I guess.
I guess.
Will you do any more centrifuge trainings? Or is
I think during mission training, you, depending on your capsule and the launch profile, you'll do another training to simulate that. But not during basic training.
What excites you the most about the future of space exploration?
Well, I think we are actually living through a revolution in space, and everything is changing so much. More and more countries and companies have now access to space. The technology is also changing so quickly. The cost of a kilogram in space is much, much lower than a few years ago. So we'll see many changes in low Earth orbit, with probably many new space stations. We'll see how it goes. We are coming back to the moon, Artemis missions, and maybe farther, because we go to the moon to actually learn everything and we need to learn and develop the technology and the science. We need to go even farther. I'm really excited about the human exploration bit of everything that is happening, and it's crazy to be in the middle of it all. So
everything, yeah, and also because we're building this new lunar facility right in front of EAC, so a hall that simulates the lunar surface. Do you know if you will be working in there as well, or maybe do some testing at some point?
I think I don't know much about my future, but I hope I will be involved, because we'll be probably testing there, maybe lunar suits or all the different tools, and maybe also robotics, or who knows what will be there. But it would be really exciting for me to work there. Also because of my background as an engineer, but now as an astronaut, being able to test yourself, everything, that would be great. Yeah.
Do you have any advice for people who might be super inspired now after all the great stories that you told us, and who are saying, oh, I want to do the same, I want to work in space?
I will tell them to actually work in space, depending on your age. If you're really young and you haven't decided what to study yet, I would recommend a science career, because I think that any you know, we are astronauts, so we are very visible, but I think any job in space or any job in science is just amazing. There's always something new to learn, and you're never bored. Every day of your career, you learn something new, and I think that's what caught my attention at the very beginning when I decided what to study. If you are a bit farther and you have already decided what to study and it's not anything related to science, it's okay. There are many jobs you can do related to study, even if it's I've known many people working in space law. You can do outreach, you can do communication or anything that you can think about in space. It's growing more and more, and there will be more and more opportunities for everyone. So just try it and you won't regret.
That sounds really good. So everybody, come and join us. Okay, now I have a few more questions for you. Let's see if you can answer. Do you have a favorite space-related quote or saying that resonates with you and keeps you inspired on your journey?
Yes, I have one by Carl Sagan, which is that science is a trip into the unknown with a lesson of humility in every corner. And many passengers will have preferred to stay at home.
Where did you find it? Did you read it somewhere, or did someone?
It's from Cosmos.
Give it to you.
From the famous Carl Sagan documentary series, he did in. It's probably the 80s, probably before I was born. So I remember watching it when I was little. And so I found it super inspiring.
You kept it in your mind. Oh wow, that's a nice one. You have it. Always somewhere, like it's an inspirational sentence.
Maybe I should. I haven't got it, but maybe I should print it out and put it.
Nice. And then, do you have a favorite space-related movie or TV show?
I think my favorite one is Interstellar.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed that one, and it's so fascinating, and the end is like, whoa.
Yeah.
Also The Martian, I really like.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, also The Martian, because it has, it's science fiction, but it has some, the authors, they put so much science in the background, and it's everything is so thought that I really enjoy The Martian.
You're looking forward to plant your own potatoes on
I wouldn't be looking forward to live through such a situation, but I would prefer a calmer mission.
Yeah. And if you could have a video call with any historical figure, who would it be, and what space-related question would you ask them?
Yeah, I think, of course I would bring Carl Sagan again, but maybe it would be more interesting to bring back maybe Galileo or Copernicus and show them, how right they were.
True.
Yeah, they had such a tough life because of actually, changing the paradigm, how we all thought about space. So I will choose them.
Yeah, as the pioneers, and also why we're here and we can do what we're doing right now.
It would be very interesting to bring them back and show them. I think their minds will actually explode with much we have moved forward.
Would you also like to have a sneak peek to the future, if you could?
Yes, of course. Yeah. I think it's very human to be curious, and that curiosity is what leads us to explore, and we want to go farther, and there's nothing more human than exploration and that need of knowing more about our world and our universe.
Thank you so much, Pablo, for being here and talking to us. It was super interesting.
Thank you very much. It's been great to be here.
And all the best for the next training lessons then.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Do you have a favorite space movie, quote, or maybe a scientist from the past that you'd love to chat with? Drop us a comment below. To discover more about Pablo and his fellow astronaut classmates, check out our ESA Exploration blog at blogs.esa.int/exploration. Connect with Pablo on social media. You can find him at astro_Pablo_A on X and Pablo_Alvarez_astro on Instagram. As usual, follow us on X at ESA Spaceflight using the hashtag ESA Explores. And if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and share on your favorite podcast platform and on ESA's YouTube channel. Coming up next is another special member of our newest astronaut selection. She's an engineer, she's a helicopter test pilot, and now she's on her journey to become an astronaut. I can't wait to introduce you to her, so stay tuned, and thank you for listening to ESA Explores.